Good morning, Hope on the Beach Church. Thank you. How's everybody doing today? Well, it is awesome to see you guys. Thank you so much for being here. My name is Rachel Harris, and I have the privilege of being your host this morning. Here at Hope on the Beach Church, our mission is to awaken hearts to Jesus every day, every person we come in contact with, and we start by inviting you into our judgment-free zone. You're free to be yourself here and to worship whatever way suits you best. So, and whether you're here for the first time, or if you're here every week, we just want to say welcome home. You are in God's presence when you come into your worship. He invites you to worship as you are. In your folder, you're going to see that you have a connection card. If you haven't had an opportunity yet to tell us who you are, we'd love to hear from you. This is our way to honor the gift God has given us by bringing you here this morning. Anything you feel comfortable sharing, and if you're here regularly, your name is fine unless there's something else that you would like to share with us as well. We also want to welcome those of you that may be watching online. So we're broadcasting live on our website, hopeonthebeach.com, as well as YouTube. And if you want to follow along on this worship folder and today's notes, you can find the PDF on the homepage of our website. So welcome to everyone. And so this morning, we just want to invite you to rise and celebrate God's grace and His presence as we worship. So come and let us worship, for God is here, and He's calling us to lay aside all of our distractions and to fix our hearts fully on Him. Amen? All right, let's rise, and Sam's going to lead us in our worship.
Before us, nothing can stand against us. shine in the shadow, win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Shine in the shadow, win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. So when I fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, battle belongs to you. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. I said to her, couldn't feel me. Man's empty praise and treasures of faith are never enough. And you came along and put me back together. And every desire is now satisfied. Better than you, Lord, there's nothing. turn graves into gardens. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. And you're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. And you turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. Father, we thank you for the truth that you do indeed turn graves into gardens. That we know as we gather here today in the midst of struggles or weaknesses, that you can flip our script in a moment. A word from you can change our lives. May we experience that word from you as we open the book and as we learn from Bartimaeus today how a word can change our lives. Bless us with your presence and your teaching today in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Y'all may be seated. If we haven't met, I'm Steve. I'm director of ministries here at Hope on the Beach. It's my privilege to have that post, and occasionally that means that I get to preach. And today's one of those days. Lucky you. So, Pastor and Christy are in Virginia Beach. And they're probably on their way home, but they're over there enjoying a couple of days off, and I'm glad they got some time to sneak off and get away. Let me ask you a question. This has probably happened more in the setting of a job interview or some kind of similar situation, but have you ever been asked, what do you think is your greatest weakness? Now, I've been asked that before, and my first thought is always the same. That is a dumb question, because why do you think I would tell you? That's like interviewing for a retail job, and they say, what's your greatest weakness? And you say, well, I'm a kleptomaniac. You're not going to just spill your weakness to total strangers, as if that would tell them in 20 or 30 minutes all about you. No, we're not going to do it. In fact, we spend a lot of time trying to hide our weaknesses, our struggles. There may be some of you struggling this morning and nobody knows. Nobody knows that that is a burden you carry down deep. There are perhaps things that your spouse doesn't even know about you. We don't like to talk about weaknesses. And we're going to look at a guy today named Bartimaeus. If you struggle with that, just Bart's good. Bart's fine. But Bartimaeus, we're going to read his story in Mark 10, 46 to 52, was a beggar. He was blind.
And so he spent his days sitting outside of Jericho, hoping somebody would drop off some food or some coin. That was his living. His family would drop him off in the same place every day, and he would make a living begging from people. So let's read his story, because I want us to see what we can learn from Bartimaeus. The title of the message is, Who Do You Hear? And we're going to look at that this morning. And they came to Jericho. The they is Jesus, his disciples, and his entourage. By now in Jesus' ministry, he goes with a crowd. It's not even just him and the 12. It's a crowd. So they came to Jericho, and as they were leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, Call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, Take heart, get up, he is calling you. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, What do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, Go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Number one, we all have weaknesses. Now, you may even be here this morning and want to shake your head no at me and say, no, we don't all have weaknesses. I don't have a weakness. Well, maybe we could call somebody that knows you really well and check your story. Okay? Personally, that's Judy's job. My wife points out my weaknesses all the time. Thank you, Coach, for nodding. I know. Yeah, we all have them. We don't like to talk about them. We don't like to point them out to everybody. But many of us may be here today and you struggle with something from your past. It still gnaws at you. You can't get that back. You've lost that event or that period of in your time. That's one decision that still haunts you, you wish you hadn't made. Maybe it's guilt over something. Maybe it's the same temptation over and over. You keep battling the same draw to something that you know you should be over by now. Or maybe it's a habit that you don't want anybody to know about. You're not proud of it. You wish you could get rid of it. Or one that I find many, many people struggle with is an attitude. They don't know how to get over that attitude. They can't seem to think differently about that. We have struggles. They may be physical. They may be emotional. They may be mental. But we have them. Bartimaeus had one. At least one obvious one. He was blind. And so, point A is we must recognize our need for deliverance through Christ. See, Bartimaeus, the beggar, when he heard Jesus was coming by, he hears the commotion. Perhaps even the disciples were singing. And as they're walking along the road, leaving Jericho, he hears probably, if you were around Jesus much, I think you did a lot of laughing. You know why I think that? Because he remembers where his father said, laughter's good medicine. It's a good thing to do. And I have a feeling that maybe he heard laughter or singing, but he heard a commotion, and he was informed that it was Jesus coming down the road. And when he heard it was Jesus, he shouts at him, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, Bartimaeus knew that he could be delivered by Christ. He could be set free. He could have his weakness fixed. He knew that. He was a man of faith already. And he'd been waiting and hoping for this day that Jesus would come by. And he did. And when he did, he just yelled at the top of his lungs because he wanted Jesus to deliver him. But everybody around him told him to chill. Be quiet. Don't be yelling at Jesus. Don't be making a scene. And Bartimaeus, I love him. I just love him. The whole roadside is saying, be quiet. In fact, even Jesus' closest confidants are telling him to be quiet. And what does Bartimaeus say? What does he do? He just privately, probably to himself, said, oh, yeah, right, sorry. And then yells even louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. He didn't give up. He didn't quit. And even though everyone around him was telling him to be quiet, point B, he called for Jesus in faith. He called in faith. He knew where his deliverance should come from. He knew, and he was calling for it. Now the question is, are you and I there? Do we recognize that our deliverance should come from Jesus? Are you tired of that weakness? Are you tired of carrying it, fighting it? We don't always get deliverance. Paul tells us that story in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul writes, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. In other words, Paul's saying, I got these grand revelations from the Lord. God shows me special stuff, but to keep me from thinking I'm special, I also have this thorn in the flesh. And I keep asking God to get rid of it. I ask him 3 times. And every time, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Are you getting that? Are you catching that? Paul says, goes on to say, for the sake of Christ, then, I am hard work. I am content with my weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. You see, Bartimaeus sat by the roadside with his blindness. And while we live in a world that supports those with blindness or any other handicap, we've rewritten legislation so that they are treated a certain way so that society does not rebuke them in the way Bartimaeus is being rebuked. We've gone out of our way to make folks who struggle comfortable, help them. We do things for them. But in Bartimaeus' day, his blindness was connected to sin. The belief was that if you had an infirmity like blindness, it was because of sin in your life or in your family tree. And so Bartimaeus not only had to deal with blindness, but he also had to deal with the people mocking him, making derogatory remarks to him as they walked by, not giving him a single thing, wondering what it was he had done to deserve blindness. That's the world he lived in. And so when he hears Jesus coming, he yells for Jesus. Now, we don't always get delivered from our struggles. I want to be clear about that. We're seeing where Bartimaeus is healed, but we don't always get healing. Most of you know by now about these little tremors I have, and others of you have them. And they're not the worst weakness on the planet. They're not that limiting, but they are dangerous with a fork in my hand or hot soup. It's a trip to see me eat soup. I'll get it. Judy spends all her time like this, trying to catch whatever's going to fly off my hands. The grandkids love it, because they can just laugh. You know, I got a little head bob, and it, you know, bobblehead, bobblehead. Yeah, okay. Wait till you're old enough for me to make fun of you, you little twit. But they are loving grandchildren. In fact, I'm going to go see them next weekend. So the games will continue. But we have these, we all have these promises, these weaknesses, and sometimes the Lord doesn't take care of them. Sometimes we're expected to just figure out how to live with them. But God never leaves us alone. He doesn't forsake us. He doesn't ignore our calls. He didn't tell Paul to just get over himself. He tells Paul, I know about it, but let me tell you something, Paul. My grace is sufficient. I'll carry you. I got your back. I am alongside you. I know about it, and I'll walk with you in it. So sometimes we don't have the experience that Bartimaeus is about to have. But Jesus is always with us. He never forsakes us. And isn't it a comfort to know that whatever you're doing, you and Jesus are on the same page. Isn't it great to know? Yesterday, I was working on the computer. And that's a trip. Me on a keyboard. I can misspell 60 words a minute. And I have to constantly, Almira will testify to this, but I will put things, and then I will have to go back and undo it. Because that's not right. Word spell's got nothing on me, man. I can keep that thing busy all day long. But I was working on the computer, and I was trying to get the cursor to put the arrow in a box so I could punch it, and I could not, with two hands, I could not get that thing, mouse to go where it needed to go. I could not get that arrow in that box. And I am fighting that thing. Finally, I just took my hands off it. I sat back in the chair. And I took a breath. And I said, Lord, are we having fun? Are we having fun? Because I'm tired of fighting these things. And again, they're not the worst. What I have is no worse than what you have. Our weaknesses are real. We need to learn to live with them. But it was great to know that probably, this is my sense of humor, probably Jesus was laughing along with me because I was laughing, that I couldn't get this little thing this big to go where it's supposed to go. And it was refreshing to know that God felt that with me. He was there in the simplest little thing. But he was there. And yes, I finally got the arrow in the box. Yes, I will always win. Or the mouse will fly out the window. But yes, we don't always get deliverance, but we always get God's attention. We always have his attention. Bartimaeus had his attention because Jesus stops. Because Bartimaeus wouldn't quit. You see, part two, Bartimaeus was surrounded by discouraging voices. He was surrounded by a group of people telling him to be quiet. A, the world is full of voices trying to distract us from faith. They could be family members. They could be friends. They could be lifelong relationships. And they may say to us, you really think prayer is going to work? You really think God cares about that? They can try to distract us from our faith. They can try to place doubts. I remember it's been almost 15 years ago, a dear, dear preacher friend of mine was shot in his pulpit in Maryville, Illinois, First Baptist Church. And of course, it was a big press thing for about a week and a half. Churches began to make security plans. They started locking their doors in the St. Louis area. They had ushers trained as people to watch for bad news. It put a ripple through the St. Louis area, at least. And I remember one day on the news, there was his widow. Because the press went after her like crazy. And Cindy is a dear friend of mine and Judy's. These guys have been friends of ours for 20 plus years. And when he was shot shortly after, a news crew went to the house, and Cindy was gracious. She came out and spoke. And I'll never forget, the news person said, in a way of trying to get Cindy to give a biting rhetorical, a biting, nasty comeback. She said, "So, Mrs. Winters, where was God when your husband was shot with that little?" Cindy smiled. They had like us, they had three services on a Sunday morning. And he was shot in the very first service. And Cindy looked at her and she smiled. And she gave her address. She said, "He was at whatever, whatever, with me and my girls at home." I thought, what an awesome answer. I'm trying to get you to admit God forsook you, and you're telling me he was at home with you? Yeah. How many people try to distract us from our faith by saying God doesn't care? What are you bothering him for? He's got all kinds of fires to put out. He doesn't have time to mess with you. And the reality is God is always with us. We're never left alone. Never left alone. Sometimes it may feel like we're battling by ourselves, but we're not. And she tells the story of how that night, after a very long day, you can imagine, she and her girls, who were preteens, huddled up in mom and dad's bed, and they thanked Jesus for where dad was. It was awesome. Awesome, the victory they had in one of the ugliest days they would ever know. One daughter's become a lawyer, battling Christian issues. One daughter's a missionary. God has taken care of that family. Those girls have grown up to be heroes, like their dad, like their mom. God doesn't leave us hanging. Bartimaeus knew that. Bartimaeus knew, I got to cry out to the Lord. Jesus is my deliverance. And he kept crying out, and people kept trying to distract him. Listen to Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make straight your paths. Bartimaeus knew to cry out to the Lord, and he wouldn't let anybody talk him out of it. Are you there? Are you trusting the Lord? Are you not listening to those who would try to discredit your faith or distract you from your faith? Point three is we demonstrate faith by trusting and waiting on Jesus. Don't you love to wait? Isn't that your favorite thing? I get impatient sometimes waiting for the elevator. We get impatient all the time. I get calls 6 days a week from my dermatologist a month before my appointment. We just want to remind you. Really? I know. I got it down. And be sure to be 15 minutes early. Okay, why? So I can wait 30 minutes for you? Why don't you be 15 minutes early? I'll treat you. We don't like to wait. We got instant everything. You can even get a meal delivered to your porch. They'll come to you in big boxes for a week. Throw them in the microwave. You're good to go. Or just eat the box. They taste about the same. We don't like waiting. But Barnabas knew to wait on the Lord. Barnabas knew his deliverance was in Christ. And so he was trusting and waiting on him. We need to do the same. Let's look at our memory verse, Romans 10. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. You see, he was waiting on Jesus to hear what he heard. Jesus stopped and said, call him. Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do? What a glorious feeling when we know we have God's attention. When we know God is paying attention to our needs, we know that. Bartimaeus knew that. Verse point four, Jesus heard Bartimaeus' call and answered him. You see, as Paul showed us, we don't always get delivered from our struggle, but we always get an answer. My grace is sufficient. John 10, Jesus says, he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Bartimaeus knew that he needed to call to Jesus so Jesus could call to him. Are you willing to wait? Do you trust the Lord today? Are you in a place where you can hand your weakness to him and wait for him to do something? And if he chooses to not do, you will at least have the comfort of his presence. He will come beside you. And the magic is in verse 52. Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And he immediately recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Now let me call your attention to one more thing. Faith in what? We hear a lot about faith. We hear a lot about, especially Bartimaeus, Jesus saying, your faith has made you well. And we hear about that and it makes me question, faith in what? Bartimaeus was already a believer. He had faith. That's why he knew to call out to the Lord. You and I can have faith. We know Jesus is the deliverer. We can call for his help. So what faith made Bartimaeus well? I believe that Jesus was telling him, your faith in waiting and trusting me. What healed Bartimaeus was God knowing that Bartimaeus was trusting him and only him. Does God know that about your heart? Does he know you are ignoring the voices telling you to be quiet and that you are trusting only him? Does he know that? That's the faith he's looking for. Remember when the four guys brought their friend on the cot who was paralyzed and they tore the hole in the roof of the house? You remember that story? And the Bible says that they lowered him through the house. And the Bible says when Jesus saw their faith. Now, it's always impressed me because faith is kind of like the wind. Do you really see it? Really? No. But you do see what it looks like, don't you? You see the result of it. And that's the same thing here. Jesus saw Bartimaeus' faith in that he knew he was trusting only in Christ. We need to do the same. So whatever your struggle may be today, can I encourage you to hand it off to Jesus? Pull it up from the depths where you don't let anybody go, that deep, dark place where you keep things you don't want anybody to know about, and surrender it today. Give it up. Because God wants to help you, either by delivering you or becoming alongside you. Let him have his way. 1 John 2 says, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. You see, Bartimaeus continued to follow Jesus. That's the last part of verse 52. And he followed him on the way. We want you to follow the Lord. That's what hope's about. Maybe today it's for the very first time that you follow in faith. Or maybe it's a day to go deeper in your faith. Maybe you want to experience baptism. Whatever it is that you sense God drawing you to, respond to him. Hear him and follow him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for giving us the example of Bartimaeus. Thank you for helping us to know that you're with us. You hear us, you speak to us, you direct us. You will deliver us, or at least provide grace to walk through it. Thank you for the promises you give us. In Jesus' precious name. And now let's pray as we've been taught. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. God bless you.
Trusting where God leads us, as Steve mentioned, brings us true peace. So as you go throughout the day, I just pray that you'll be asking him, God, where are you calling me to trust you? Help me to make the best next steps in where it is you're leading. And one of the ways that we can connect with God is trusting his plan for us to present our offerings for the advancement of his kingdom. If you look inside of your worship folder, you're going to see that you have an offering envelope. You could place your offering in here. We've got several ways to give outlined in your worship folder so that you can choose the best way. And your worship folder, in the back of your worship folder, you're going to see all of our hope happenings. So if you flip it over to the back, you can check out our schedule. Maybe God's next step for you might be coming this Monday to our partnership class, where you can learn about the vision of Hope on the Beach Church and the directions that God is leading us in and what his plan for your purpose may be here at Hope on the Beach Church, and enjoy some lunch with us and fellowship and learn together. I also wanted to point out that we do have a voters meeting on August the 31st at the end of this month. But at this time, if you would like to take your offering envelope and your connection card, you can put them in the plates, and we're going to continue worshiping.
So sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the Savior.
As we come to the time.